Welcome everybody to the Script Doctor Podcast. My name is David.
And my name is Casey, and we're your hosts.
And we're here because we love movies and TV shows, and frequently they are very disappointing.
So we created this podcast to discuss and try to fix them. Now I know what you're thinking. Are they real doctors?
No, we're not.
In fact, David and I have bachelor's degrees in business, and boy has that got us so far.
And you may be wondering if we're in the entertainment industry.
No, we are just two friends that are passionate about movies and TV shows and talk about how they could be better. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Casey.
How are you today?
I'm great. I'm fine. We're about to finally finish off this Dumpster Fire trilogy, and I'm just so happy it's just ending. That's what I'm happy about. It's ending.
I know. But it's fine. We got here. We got through it. As I said before, if you really don't want to watch it again, you don't have to.
Please, God, make it stop.
So, episode 4. Here we are to talk about Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker.
Yikes.
How exciting. I've been excited for this episode just because I want to see what David has to say.
There's just way too much stuff to talk about. I'm sure we're going to talk about a lot of stuff here that we're just going to end up cutting out because there's just too much to say, so that's going to be intense. So let me just start by saying that our fix for this movie is not going to be what it usually is. It's going to be different. And you'll see what I mean by that when we get to it. So let's just start by saying and acknowledge that J.J. Abrams, who is the director on this movie...
He's back!
He's back from Force Awakens. Disney, after, I guess, measuring the response to Last Jedi, were like, nah. And decided that they would give the franchise back to J.J. Abrams to see if maybe he could salvage something from the wreckage that was The Last Jedi. It was written by J.J. Abrams and Chris Terrio, and holy crap, they could have picked literally anybody else. But no, they picked the guy who wrote Batman vs. Superman.
How exciting.
What
perfect
fit. Like, seriously, it's nuts. And so their combined efforts between J.J. Abrams and Chris Terrio, I thought, when all the previews started coming out, I thought that this movie would be bad. But I didn't think it would be this bad. The result of this movie between J.J. Abrams and Chris Terrio is so much worse than I possibly could have imagined. You know how in TV shows sometimes there's always like a time travel episode and like somebody travels to the future or something and it's like everything's awful, things are real bad, and things were destroyed, often because like that person time traveled in the future and so they weren't around?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what happened in our universe, but like I think this is the dark timeline. This is the dark timeline where everything went bad for Star Wars. Just all of it. It's all bad.
It's okay. It's over with.
No, it's not. That's the problem.
They're gonna come out with a new one. Eventually.
So.
With that, let's jump in to Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker.
Casey, what's wrong with this movie?
What's right?
That might actually be the better question here, is like, what's right
about this? The only thing I can ever say that's ever right about these past three films is Kylo Ren, Adam Driver, Ben Solo.
Adam Driver has carried this whole sequel trilogy.
Absolutely.
But like, the material that he's given is so poor that the only reason that it's any good is that he elevates it. And it's kind of starting to wear thin because it's still just not that good, even when he's like acting the crap out of this whole thing. Like, it's great just watching him on screen. He's the closest this whole trilogy gets to any serious character drama, like between him and Rey. So this movie starts out with Kylo Ren looking way cooler than he ever actually has in the rest of this trilogy, which is actually super sad. We're three movies in, and we're finally getting a cool scene with him.
Hold on, David. This is Adam Driver we're talking about, and he looks cool in anything he does, so...
Not Kylo Ren, though. That's the problem. Like, Kylo Ren has just been made the butt of every single joke of this whole trilogy. Not every single one, but, like, many of them. He's embarrassing. Like, Rey beat him at the end of Force Awakens. He couldn't catch these, like, 12 Resistance members that are the only thing standing between him and whatever the First Order goals are. It's really hard to take him seriously as a villain.
He's been made a fool of.
He's been made a fool of. And it's just really embarrassing. And no wonder he wanders around and then, oh, it's the Emperor. We have a villain for our trilogy now. And by the way, he's keeping a jar full of Snokes.
So David, with this jar full of Snoke, I was really confused. So did
I think everybody was confused.
Did Palpatine actually... Surprise, Palpatine's back. If you didn't know, did he actually make him? And if that's so, how does he get, like, force powers if he made him? This doesn't make any sense.
Well, the writers need a villain, so we're just doing...
I don't get it.
Nobody gets it. I don't think the writers get it either. We just need a villain for this movie, Casey. And it can't be Kylo Ren, because it's Adam Driver, I guess. And so we're stuck with Emperor Palpatine, because, he's a bad guy.
And apparently he did not vaporize.
Yes.
Back in Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
So Darth Vader sacrificed himself for... nothing.
He sacrificed himself for nothing.
Palpy was alive all along.
Yay.
That's great.
Isn't that cool? Then we go to the Resistance or whatever, and... oh, Rey's training, even though...
oh, fun.
Oh, fun.
And who's she being taught by, David?
By Leia. She's a secret Jedi. What?
Whoa. That's kind of cool. Why didn't we see this before?
Wouldn't have been useful. Like, I kind of resent the fact that they even are trying to pretend that Rey doesn't actually know everything. Like, she does everything. She's already strong enough, so why are we pretending that she's not?
She's already powerful without the training.
Yeah.
She could use training, sure.
But why? Why are we pretending?
We've already established that she's super powerful, doesn't need the training.
We've established that she's the most skilled, most loved, most interesting hero.
Super nice.
Super nice and skilled character. So what's even the point? And then the Resistance finds out that in 16 hours, put that in the back of your head, in 16 hours is when Palpatine will attack with his fleet of super mega Star Destroyers.
Here's the thing, David. Why didn't he just say, we're going to attack, and not give a countdown?
So, like,
then no one would be in a rush, and he would have succeeded.
So like, an ambush or something? Like, you just attack?
This is like in Captain Marvel, when she's just like, go back to the Kree and tell them, I'm on my way, I'm coming for you, prepare for me, so you actually have a chance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Casey, here's the problem. You're thinking way too logically. The Force. The Force is the answer to whatever your question is.
Yes, always.
The Force had Emperor Palpatine expose himself and be a dum-dum? And then Rey apparently has some books that...
were supposedly destroyed, or so we thought.
Yoda said they were useless in Last Jedi, even though we see them being stored in the Millennium Falcon anyway, for some reason. Either way, it tells us that Luke looked for Exegol. Oh my god,
the planet
where the Emperor is hiding.
I thought Luke just wanted to be on that island and die.
That's what we all thought. But no longer is that the case. Through the power of awkward writing. And the books lead them to a forbidden desert. A quote-unquote forbidden desert. Because...
Burning Man!
Because they arrive and there's a Burning Man festival going on. Hooray!
How fun!
Hooray!
Party! In the middle of a war.
And then while they're there, there's a brief Force Skype phone call which leads Kylo Ren to the Burning Man planet. And then Lando's there.
Remember him? Oh my gosh.
He looks... old.
Bless his heart.
I know, he can barely stand.
all the old characters are old. There's like an interview of Lando just trying to speak about the movie, and he's just like...
struggling.
Lost. Bless his heart.
I know. Just leave him alone. Let him retire.
Well.
There's a chase with flying stormtroopers and bad jokes and bad dialogue.
Right.
Just like they can fly now. Oh my god. And, yeah. Oh my god.
And they're like, they can fly now? They can fly now. They can fly now. It's like, okay, we get it. They can fly now.
It's a bad joke from the beginning, and they just squeeze this rock as much as they can from as much blood as they can, and it's all bad.
Then we have the scene where...
there's a fiery crash from both of them, and they fall very conveniently onto some quicksand.
Yes.
That's super soft and cushions the blows, and that's why they don't break any bones or die.
Right. Yes. Because they don't do that in crashes here. And then, the scene I absolutely despise was when Finn was just like, Rey, I have to tell you something. Oh. And then, because they think they're about to die.
Right.
And then they don't. And then they're like, or she was like, what were you going to tell me? And he was just like, and eventually later in the movie, Poe and Finn are about to die. And jumping ahead a little bit, but he's just like, what were you going to tell Rey? And he doesn't tell him. And he never, ever, ever, we never know. This is the last movie in the sequel trilogy. We will never know.
We have no idea what Finn was going to say.
It would be one thing if it was Last Jedi and he touched it in this one, but no, he never says it. I'm like, I'm sorry, are you in love with her? Did you betray her? What's going on? I hated the scene.
Well, it's nonsense. Like, it has no payoff. That line has no payoff. Just cut it out of the movie. Why didn't they cut it out of the movie?
I don't know. Time.
Anyway, they're in a cave, and the monster snarls at them. And then Rey reveals that she has super secret healing powers. Rey has turned into Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, she's just about the part.
Yeah, and heals this monster.
Heals this monster. And Rey, after she does it, looks great. She doesn't look like...
And she just explained it like she already knew. She's like, I just gave a bit of my own force energy to heal it.
She's so casual about this.
Yeah.
And I do this all the time.
And it begs the question of, like, back in whenever Qui-Gon was dying, why didn't Obi-Wan heal him? If they had this power all along...
Don't think about it, Casey.
But...
Look, it's Maz Kanata!
Space horses?
All the space horses! And they find a knife. Only 3PO can read it. But then 3PO has rules, apparently, that say he can't speak the language out loud or something.
Yeah, he can't transcribe the Sith language to them. And I'm like, why can't... Can you write it down? Can you... sign language? I don't know.
So then Kylo Ren catches up with our heroes. Chewie gets kidnapped...
And by then, the First Order.
By the First Order, there's a shuttle, and then Rey tries to pull it down, Kylo Ren tries to release it, and there's a bit of a fight, and then Rey releases some lightning from her fingertips. It blows up this shuttle.
Chewie!
She's like, and then we think, oh man, she made a mistake, and accidentally killed Chewie. And yeah. It's like, oh, this would be like, finally, our hero did something on accident that like cost her something. But like,
and also that power, don't you have to tap into the dark side to use that? Because I've only seen Palpatine.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're supposed to. Count Dooku does it once, but like the point is that like you use the dark side usually to do that.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, they low-key mourn Chewie, but not as much as I feel like they should have.
But like literally, I think a minute later, they reveal like, oh my god, Chewie's alive.
Yeah.
Haha, just kidding.
And it was like, how, when did they switch shuttles?
I don't know. this movie is just... We have no time for it, Casey. And then they go from there to some... They go to some planet that looks like a World War II village. Like the
they're literally going door to door.
They're going door to door as if to pick up people.
Yeah.
And they're hiding around. They're sneaking around. And that was kind of fun, at least.
Yeah.
But then Carrie Russell, who's in a big spacesuit, attacks them and then brings them to an alien called Babu Frick or whatever.
Yes.
Who's a bit of a weirdo, but he's interesting at least.
He was cute and funny.
And then they erase 3PO's memory, and we think this is a payoff thing, like, oh wow, 3PO's actually...
He has that moment where like he's just like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm taking one last look at my friends.
But they kind of hate him.
Like, yeah.
They don't care about 3PO at all. They're like, they have to wipe him? Whatever. It's really sad because 3PO...
It's fine. You're just a robot.
It's fine, you're just a robot. Screw you, 3PO.
Yeah. So they erase his memory. That's his sacrifice.
But then, like, an hour later, they bring back his memory.
Oh, they also find out Poe was a spice runner. And then they keep questioning that a couple times, like, throughout the film. And I find it kind of, like, annoying.
Why are we lingering on this?
Some people had a past, you know? Yeah.
We don't have time for this in this movie.
Okay, he was a spice runner.
We should explore that.
Some people did things before, what, good or bad, but he's with the Resistance now. He changed his life around.
Wouldn't it have been fun to explore Poe's backstory and all that?
Yeah.
But we don't
have... We don't have time.
We don't have time for that, because, oh, Chewie's alive! Rey sent us that Chewie's alive on this ship, and then Zori Bliss, Carrie Russell, gives them a magical space coin that just lets them sneak onto the ship for some reason.
Faux free.
And then they just sprint onto the ship. Very little resistance. They shoot their way through. They barely get injured. And they just don't shoot them once they catch them. Like, why don't they just shoot them? I don't get it.
They didn't have time? They wanted to see who it was first? They didn't think it was them?
They know who it is.
They didn't come on the Millennium Falcon.
I think you're giving this movie too much credit once again. But they're still intruders.
Okay,
kill them!
I understand, but they went in part... And then those stormtroopers, like, came up, and I think they were like, what's your business here, or whatever, and they
right.
Went pew-pew.
Right, they shot him. So yeah. These people are clearly hostile. Shoot them. Anyway, then there's a fight between Kylo Ren and Rey that kind of lingers on for a while, and then finally, Kylo Ren's like, you're a Palpatine. Oh, my God. And then Rey is bothered by this, I guess.
I mean, I would understand. I'm really sad that she found out here. I feel like they should have touched on it in Last Jedi. Like, oh, you're probably related to a Jedi or someone. And just, then
It's just that this movie doesn't feel like a proper sequel to Last Jedi. It doesn't work as a sequel to Last Jedi. This feels more like a sequel to Force Awakens. It feels like J.J. Abrams is just trying to undo everything Ryan did because he doesn't like it and is just trying to, like, fix it all in the space of one movie, which is awkward and fails miserably.
Oh, when Poe and Finn and Chewie were captured, they find out that Hux was actually the spy.
Then he gets shot.
But he's only the spy because he doesn't want Kylo Ren to win. So it's like a petty
It's super petty. Like, this cause that he's been fighting for presumably his whole life.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he doesn't care about it anymore because...
It'd be one thing if he was, like, on the inside the entire time.
Exactly.
That'd be one thing. But no, he's just like, I don't want Kylo Ren to win, I'm turning against everything I believed in.
This rival to Kylo Ren, who was set up in Force Awakens, has been reduced to some petty, like, co-worker. It's super sad.
He got the promotion that he wanted, and he's like, nah, man, I'm taking you down. That's my spot.
It's weird.
Kylo Ren just got the spot because he has famous parents, and basically, he has special Force-y powers, so...
He has privilege.
Yes. He has privilege in, like, a couple up things, but it's like...
Apparently it's not good enough to beat Rey.
It's like, you apply to a job... And they really need someone who's bilingual, but you don't know how to do the job, but you're the only person that's bilingual. So they're like, all right, Boom. You're hired.
Yeah, basically.
Well, they touch on the memory of Rey's parents. You remember that?
Well, what about it?
Just that, like, why did Palpatine have his own son killed?
Because, like, because this movie needs a plot, Casey. And this movie needs to give Rey a backstory. And, like, you know what's really gross and disgusting? If that's his son... And, like, Rey is his granddaughter, it means that he slept with someone. With his screwed up weird face.
Ew.
Yeah.
His, like, 5 foreheads.
His 20 foreheads, yes. He slept with somebody looking like that.
Bless.
Like, well. Yikes. And so, eventually we find out that Palpatine just wants to possess Rey, I guess. Here's another question. Why didn't he just possess his Snoke clones?
I guess because Rey's his granddaughter, she has Force powers, and she's Palpatine, and...
Snoke has Force powers.
You're asking too many questions, David.
Why didn't he possess his son? Why didn't he...
I'm assuming...
Anything.
Why didn't he possess Ben? I'm assuming his son didn't have Force powers.
Do we know that? We don't know that.
We don't know that, but we don't see him use it in that very one scene that we see.
But we don't know that he doesn't, and we presume that he would because he's part of the family.
Right. Who knows? Moving on.
We don't know.
Moving on.
We don't know anything.
Yeah.
This movie just wants you to be like, shut up. So we move on and to the wreckage where the second Death Star crashed, even though I'm pretty sure that thing was just totally vaporized. It looked like it disintegrated, not that it crashed.
Right, but...
We have a wreckage anyway.
We need it for the story.
And then Rey stands on the shore, pulls out that knife that they found earlier, does a little thing, pulls out a little, like, dongle on it, and...
Somehow is magically in the right spot.
Somehow she stands in the right spot.
Yeah.
And the wreckage is shaped in a very particular way that it somehow lines up with a knife and it directs her to a certain part of it. Somehow. How does the knife know to do that?
The Force?
Yes, the Force.
David, how old is this dagger? And why is it in an ancient language?
Reasons, Casey.
Okay.
And so then Rey, who grew up on a desert planet, successfully sails a little boat in a very stormy sea. To the wreckage.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow.
Right.
And then she has a vision of a dark Rey, which was...
I really liked that double-sided lightsaber. I thought that was kind of cool.
It was fun, but yeah. But then that dark Rey had shark teeth all of a sudden for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
That was awkward.
Well, she finds a wayfinder, and then who jumps in?
Kylo Ren. Oh, my God.
What?
And then he breaks it, and then she's upset.
How can she find the Sith planet now?
I guess...
Stay tuned.
Basically, they have a fight, and this is interesting. Like, Kylo Ren wins.
Yeah.
He wins the duel, but then Leia just decides to die at that moment.
Well, basically back where she is with the Resistance, she starts walking away, and Maz is just like, it's going to take all her strength to get to her son. And
she doesn't say to get to her son. She says something awkward that doesn't make sense.
Well, something about Kylo Ren.
She says something about, like she has to
get to him to bring him to the light side, in a sense, I suppose.
Well, we don't know, which is kind of confusing and kind of awkward, because, like, if it turns out that Leia is the only reason, like, not her death, but, like, if Leia just somehow, like, force controls Kylo Ren to turn back into Ben Solo, that's a little awkward. because, like,
not force controls, just talk to her son. That's how I took it.
But then they don't actually really have a conversation, or at least none that we actually get to hear.
It's just like a feeling, I guess. But he wins, and then he stops.
He stops trying to fight Rey. Kylo Ren senses it first. Kylo Ren drops it. And then Rey, in a fit of, like, here's my chance, grabs it, stabs him. Then she senses what just happened. Because at that moment, Leia dies. And it's kind of awkwardly edited, because it kind of looks like the moment that she stabs Kylo Ren, like, it looks like that's what killed Leia. Like, it doesn't, like, it's not clear if that's what exactly killed Leia. It just looks like when she did it, she, like, that's when she, like, bites it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She stabs him.
And then she, I guess, immediately regrets it, and then she pulls another Jesus and heals Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
And, like we said before, like, the most interesting part of this whole trilogy has been the relationship between Kylo Ren and Rey, and Daisy Ridley has a great moment here. Like, it's just a moment, truly a moment. It lasts about 15 seconds, where she says,
I wanted to take your hand. I wanted to take your hand. Ben's hand.
Ben's hand.
Yeah.
And that just leaves.
Then she runs and takes a ship.
She steals his car.
Yeah.
It just kind of leaves Kylo Ren on the planet by himself to, I guess, think about things.
Yeah. And then what happens, David?
And then Kylo Ren is just kind of standing there soaked, looking kind of sad and pathetic. And then I guess he just starts thinking about Han Solo. It's not made clear that this is just him hallucinating. Like, it would have been.
It can't be a Force ghost, though.
It can't be a Force ghost.
He's there. And Force ghosts are kind of like see-through.
They look like ghosts.
Yeah.
So this is not a ghostly Han Solo. This is just
his memory and how his dad would respond to him in this moment, right. I suppose.
But an uninformed viewer wouldn't be able to really, like, gather that.
Yeah.
They would just be really confused, like, oh, he's a ghost or something, which is kind of sad.
David, how did Han Solo's ghost grow longer hair and more facial hair
than
when he died?
It's because Harrison Ford didn't want to cut his hair for the scene. He's just like, I'll do the scene. I can't believe they actually managed to get him to do it. I'm pretty sure Harrison Ford has been done with Han Solo, and yet somehow they pulled like enough
pretty
strings.
pretty please.
What favors did they have to do to get Harrison Ford to do this?
What was in his contract for the for those 2 minutes?
I don't know. I don't think anybody knows except for Harrison Ford.
Be like, for each minute you're in here, we'll give you $1 million.
every 5 seconds we'll give you $1 million.
That's all it took,
apparently.
Money,
I guess. And so then Kylo Ren rejects the dark side, and he throws away his lightsaber, which is kind of a plot point later. It would have been useful if he kept it, because he's losing the fight.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, I understand it's a red one, but, like,
it's supposed to be symbolic,
bro,
but it's not. But
bro,
it's not,
you need
yeah.
You kind of need it, man.
Like, it's a symbolic gesture, which would have been far more interesting and a better constructed movie.
Yeah. So Leia technically dies.
Leia's
dead. I understand she kind of needs to, because the actress unfortunately died. R.I.P.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher.
Rest in peace, our princess.
Yes. But it was just kind of an odd way.
They totally bet.
Yeah, because this film, like, she died before Last Jedi even came out, but I think she finished filming Last Jedi. So they
she finished
just,
filming Last Jedi.
Yeah, but her daughter proved to have scenes
yeah.
from previous movies and whatnot to make this one work.
It's so shocking. Disney truly bet on the wrong person.
Yeah.
Like, they killed Harrison Ford. They killed Han Solo. They killed Luke Skywalker. And yet, both those actors are hearty and healthy and looking great.
Right.
And yet, Carrie Fisher, God
bless. Well, after that, we see Chewie mourning, like a true mourning, when they find out that Leia is gone.
It's a little much, but it's mourning.
I mean,
finally.
I mean,
I get it.
He lost Han a little while ago.
They're trying to make up for all this, basically.
Yeah, I mean, he lost Luke, but I feel like that's probably not as hurtful, but
it's still his buddy. It's still
yeah.
homie. Like,
he lost Han, he lost Luke, he just lost Leia. Like, all his 3 besties are gone.
All your friends are
now
dead.
He's gonna deal with all these people.
Who don't really talk to him that much.
No.
He's just a glorified chauffeur.
Oh my gosh, poor thing.
I know. The movie's finally climaxing.
Yeah. Next scene, we see a Sith ship.
Blowing
Sith
up.
Sith Star Destroyer blowing up a planet from their ship.
Ugh.
So now you no longer need this big Death Star to blow up a ship. They have little mini Death Stars.
Any Star Destroyer can do it.
Yeah.
You get a super weapon, and you get a super weapon, and you get a super weapon.
So they're like, ooh, we gotta go get these people.
How do they build these ships?
The Force.
How did they hide these ships? I thought about that,
because they kind of came up from the ground, so...
Which would kind of wreck the ships anyway.
Yeah, you think Palpatine just conjured them?
How are they manning these ships?
Well, the people.
They have that millions of people, because Star Destroyers take, like, thousands of staff.
I mean, it sounds like this has been in the makings of 30 years.
But you kind of need thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people to man 1,000 Star Destroyers.
Maybe they evacuated those planets that they destroyed and took all those people. It's either you die or you work for us. I don't know. You're asking too many questions, David. Moving on.
Oh, God.
Well, we see Rey on Luke's planet, on the original, the first temple.
She's burning Kylo Ren's ship.
That got her there.
And then she grabs the lightsaber, Anakin's lightsaber, the one that she reconstructed, and she throws it into
the fire.
But then who catches it? It's the ghost of Luke Skywalker.
Oh my gosh.
Which is already super awkward because...
Because
he threw it away. But oh, he caught it. And it says, like, this is the most important thing ever.
You change your mind, man?
And then he flipped off Rian Johnson.
Basically.
Yeah.
But... Basically, she was going to this island to die like him because she's a Palpatine. And
she doesn't want any part of this. She doesn't want to turn to the dark side. She doesn't want to do anything. And then Luke says, haha, just kidding. Which...
Oh, it's because she had that vision that she saw herself and Kylo Ren sitting on like the Sith throne.
But then we don't get to see that vision ever.
No, not at all.
And so then Luke tells her that, hey, just kidding. I shouldn't have done what I did. You should go do your thing. And then Rey's like, okay. And
I just destroyed the ship.
And like, I feel really bad for Mark Hamill. Like, this is like the only time in this whole trilogy where he actually gets to play the character he likes, called Luke Skywalker. And this is it in this whole trilogy. It's terrible. And so then Rey decides to get it together. And Luke uses the Force as a ghost. Mm-hmm. To, like, raise his X-Wing, the one that was in the water. Which, all this kind of really begs the question, like, why don't the Force ghosts just go ahead
band and...
Band together and just take care of business.
That would be really cool.
Oh,
that would actually be, like, an interesting shot to see, like, obviously all the characters we know from the original Star Wars movies that are dead now. And then extra Jedis.
It'd be a serious cop-out for, like, a solution to a problem, but, like... Why don't they? Like, they interact with the physical world. They can do anything, so why don't they?
Yeah, like when Yoda blew up the temple.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at this point, like, why they don't. That's why, like, in the original trilogy, all they did was just talk and give guidance. But no, now they're shooting lightning bolts from the sky. They're catching lightsabers. They're raising ships. They can do everything, but they can't do anything. It's stupid.
Also, Luke mentions that Leia knew all along that she was a Palpatine. Which begs the question, did he know she was a Palpatine? And I understand receiving that news is going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. But they knew all along, and this is what she's been searching for. Even if it's not what she was expecting.
But she has a right to know. She's had a right to know.
Yeah, she's had a right to know. And it's not like, I mean, obviously if they would have told her in Last Jedi, they had no idea that Palpatine was alive.
It's like telling a kid they're adopted. Like, as a parent, you don't want to just blurt it out, but you also don't want to, like, keep it from a child.
Yeah. Like, if they knew all along, like, they should have told her.
Yeah.
And she wasn't even mad about it.
She didn't care.
She's like, so she knew all along?
She's like, what? Isn't that cool?
Oh, and she chose to train me anyway? That's so kind.
Then she flies to the Emperor's planet, Exegol. And then she
gives her location to the Resistance.
They follow her there. By the way, this is all taking place in 16 hours somehow.
Oh, wait, hold on, David. How did she get the Wayfinder?
Oh, that's right. It kind of burned up in Kylo's ship, so I don't know how she's getting there.
Well, we see the Wayfinder on the ship.
On the Luke ship.
Yeah. So
she salvaged it from the wreckage of the
Kylo ship? I guess, unless she took it off beforehand. Assuming that it was obviously on his ship.
But then it wasn't destroyed. Apparently.
I don't know. We're asking too many questions.
Look, it's Maz Kanata!
Space horses?
All of them. And then...
She arrives at Exegol, and you see all these Star Destroyers.
They're everywhere.
And she's walking in there, in castle, and building, whatever.
And Emperor Palpatine is appropriately hammy, and just like, nyah, nyah, nyah. And that's fun, I guess. It was
so dark.
Yeah, it's really hard to see.
You could barely see anything.
Oh, that's a good point. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you, but like...
How dare you?
But like, big warning. If you suffer from seizures, please don't watch this movie.
It's a trigger.
Yeah, it's. I'm not kidding, it's a trigger. Like, on the Exegol planet, there's lots of, like, flashing lightning bolts.
It's just so you see that there is something there. but yeah. They just have it so dark.
Yeah. I like the fact that it's a dark, spooky, moody planet.
But we want to see it.
But we can't actually see anything.
And then
either.
You see, like, there's some people, some Sith people, I guess.
I thought they were ghosts. But apparently
not. I don't
know.
They all kind of look the same.
I don't know. This movie just throws everything at you and just expects you to be okay with it because screw you. Anyway, the fleet arrives, then they start targeting this one little antenna on that's on the planet, but then they say stop, then they have to target one of the ships.
Apparently all of those Star Destroyers
need a navigational beacon.
Yeah, they needed that because apparently they could make a planet-destroying weapon on each ship, but they can't have their own navigational beacon.
They can't make a GPS. It hasn't arrived from Amazon yet.
Oh, they didn't get Prime. That was their problem.
That was a problem.
They only had 16 hours, and Prime was like, I can't do that.
Basically.
Like, I'm sorry.
I know. They didn't even spring for the rush order just that one time.
Nope.
Not even.
So they're all just sitting there.
And they have to destroy this one Star Destroyer for some reason.
Yeah. And they're really hoping and praying that people heard their message. They're, like, dying.
Then Finn, with some Space Forces and another Stormtrooper friend, or former Stormtrooper friend, they start attacking on the ship, on the surface. And for some reason, like, hey, I've got a solution to your problem that some people are on this flat surface. You take your ship, and you kind of tilt it, and you dump everybody who's, like, invading your ship.
No.
But we can't do that. And so
we need them.
There's a battle. But we can't have Finn die.
So then we move on to Ben Solo showing up
and
to come and help Rey.
He fights the Knights of Ren, who are pathetic.
Yeah. And he doesn't have a lightsaber with him. He's just using the Force in his hands.
Oh.
And then you have the moment where Palpatine's like, yes, please kill me, Rey, so all the Sith can transfer to you. And then she's just like, feels Kylo, I guess. And they have like their...
She feels Ben, excuse you.
I'm sorry, yes. She feels Ben. I do like this scene just because it's like they might, I don't know if they actually see each other, but he like, she kind of like ever so slightly nods and he nods back.
It's nice that they sense each other.
Yes. And then she goes to put the lightsaber behind her back.
She teleports it.
Yeah. And then he grabs it and then he goes like.
I don't like that they have teleportation, but I like that they sense each other. That was nice.
So then he starts fighting.
And wrecks them.
That scene though. I like his fight.
Well, it's an okay fight. And it would make sense because of how terrible the Knights of Ren actually are, apparently.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't kill this guy. But, like, it was the Knights of Ren, and they have cool armor. And I thought they would be cooler. And everybody thought they'd be more interesting. But no. Just a bunch of losers. Just get slaughtered by this one dude with a lightsaber. And then they meet up. Rey and Ben meet up. And they're confronting the Emperor.
Yeah. And Palpatine's just like, ooh, the Force...
The Force Bond or whatever.
I think it's Dyad.
They say Dyad, but it's a Force Bond, basically.
The Force Bond Dyad is super rare, and he's just like, oh, I got the both of you here.
How did he not know about this?
Here's the thing. I'm kind of confused. Snoke said that he gave it to him. Was that a lie? That has to be, because they're saying, like, that's super rare, because if he gave it to him, why would he, like, just not have it himself? I don't know.
Well, here's another question. If he gave it to them, why did it not fade after he was dead?
Who? Palpatine or Snoke?
Snoke. After Snoke. If Snoke says he formed it,
yeah.
Why didn't the bond go away once Snoke died?
I don't know if this is one of those moments where a magical spell wears off if the witch dies or what.
There are no rules.
Well, he basically takes the bond from them and then he was just like, oh, I can use the both of you to become me again, and starts taking their Force energy, I guess, and he becomes regular Palpatine again.
Not really. He's still exactly the same thing, stuck on a machine.
Well, he looks better.
He looks better.
If you want to call that better. And then he's just like, ha ha ha, and then they collapse.
Yeah.
And then he shoots Ben into a pit. And then Rey's still down, and then he's just like, ha ha ha, whatever. And then he does the lightning from his fingertips to throw lightning everywhere.
If you're getting confused by our conversation, we're confused by the scene.
He didn't have that type of power before, did he? So what? No. Why does this make him more powerful now?
Look, it's Lando! He shows up with a whole bunch of other ships.
Does he know where he is?
I don't know. Apparently, even though they asked for help before, and it didn't work, and nobody came, but now they're asking for help again, and now they show up. I guess Lando's just that much more charismatic than Leia is.
And they're like, alright, man, we'll come help you out.
Lando's just that much cooler.
I guess so.
It's confusing.
So maybe they all owed Lando money from playing games.
That would make more sense than anything else in this movie.
Yeah.
Then Rey is just about to die because she's like holding back Sith lightning or whatever from the Emperor.
And then she starts to hear all of these past Jedi.
All these Force ghosts. And they say, oh, we're with you. Yay.
Come on, you got it. Get up.
Smoke them out. Push them out. Way out. Like, they're just cheerleading. Yeah. They cheer her on. And
she gets up. She gets the lightsaber.
She gets a second lightsaber.
Well, no, hold on. You're jumping ahead. She gets the one lightsaber, and then he starts putting the lightning towards her, and she's trying to, like, fight it back.
Right.
And then he's just like, I'm all the Sith. And she's like, does a little Iron Man moment. And is just like, and then pulls this other second lightsaber, I'm all the Jedi, and then does the X with the lightsabers. I know you didn't like the Jedi part, but I mean, I liked when she put the two together. I don't know how that made her win. Then it doesn't make sense.
Well, it's stupid because, like, it starts reflecting the lightning back at Palpatine, and then he doesn't stop using it.
Yeah. So she just starts going forward and forward and forward, and then pushes him, and he dies, I guess.
He dies because of his own stupidity, because he reflects his own lightning back at him. He doesn't stop, even though he knows to not do that.
Yeah. That's... And
she just passes out. I guess she dies.
Yeah.
Ben crawls out of this pit that he fell into. And then...
He runs to her.
He runs to her,
gives her a little hug.
Hugs her. And, like, then, I guess, uses the Force on her to heal her, quote-unquote. And then they...
It seems like he passed his own energy into her.
Apparently. Then they share a kiss. A really awkward kiss that has not been built up at all. That is not earned at any level in this whole trilogy. And then he dies.
Well, they look at each other, they smile, and then he dies. And I was like, no.
Well, so Ben, when he dies, he just kind of fades away like that.
Yeah.
Why didn't Rey just fade away just like that?
I was going to bring that up too, David. Like, how long does it take for when a Jedi dies?
Long enough so that we can get an awkward, redemptive moment into the movie. That's how long it takes.
Because some of them fade so fast. Some of them take a couple minutes.
Well, Qui-Gon didn't fade away. He got burned. There was a whole ceremony for his body. He was cremated.
Does that mean he was never a Jedi?
No. Like, so Jedi just die most of the time.
Yeah, but most of the time when the Jedi die, though, they, like...
They fade? Fade. Not usually, no.
I thought they did.
Well, that's what we see, but, like, that's not what they all do.
Anywho's.
So then...
He fades because now he's a Jedi.
Apparently.
And it's sad.
Well, it's sad because, like, it's just so awkward. Because Kylo Ren's redemption just does not seem really earned at all. None of the work was really put in to do any of it. He's constantly portrayed as being conflicted, but he never really seems to do much of anything about it. Until the last, like, hour of this film, Rise of Skywalker. But then we have to kill him. He gives his life to Rey or whatever. Because we have to have the plot point. Because that's what Vader did when he saved Luke. He gave his life to save Luke. Because we have to do this?
I just didn't feel it necessary.
Well, it's really unnecessary. Like, they did it because Vader died. That's the only reason.
Yes. I didn't like it.
Well, it's not a good reason. Just because you did it with one character doesn't mean you have to do it with another character. You know what would've been really cool? We don't know what it's like to be a prodigal Jedi. We don't know what it's like for a person who had the Force, used the dark side for a long time, and then decided to turn to the light side. We haven't seen what their life is like after that turn.
Yeah.
We know what it's like to see a person turn from the dark side. Vader did that.
It kind of reminds me of Avatar The Last Airbender when you have Zuko.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's been looking for the Avatar and he's with the Fire Nation and all that. And then...
For two seasons.
Yeah. And then he realizes that he needs to go help the Avatar.
Right.
And he abandons everything he's been about for his whole life, but more so, like, the last few years. And joins the gang.
Right.
And it takes a little bit for them to accept him and whatnot, but he fits in.
There's development. There's a whole process that takes place.
You completely see him change.
Right.
So that would have been cool to see with Ben.
But, like, we don't get any of this.
No.
Like, nothing. None of it. It's just so completely awkward.
Well, then we have Rey escape, because somehow the X-Wing did not perish.
I don't know. No rocks fell on it. No ships. No Star Destroyers.
Magically
is fine.
And somehow the Sith planet is not dark anymore.
I don't know.
We can see now.
Either way, we're back on our jungle planet, where the Resistance are usually from. Everybody's celebrating, I guess.
Yep. Chewie gets a medallion.
He gets a medal for some reason. That was for the audience.
Shouldn't he have gotten that, like, back in the originals?
Why would he care anymore? Like, that was all for the audience. That little moment pulled me out of the movie entirely. It's completely off. And then...
They have that scene with Lando and that woman, the former stormtrooper, where he was like, where are you from? And she was like, I don't know. And he was like, well, let's find out. At first, I thought, like, she was going to be, like, related to him or something.
That's what I thought they were implying.
And then it kind of seems like they're setting it up for something, but this is the last movie, so...
Why is the scene here?
Yeah, why is it here? He could have just been, I don't know, he could have been like, hi,
and then
hi, and that's it.
Oh, and then Poe meets back up with Zori Bliss, except she doesn't lower her face mask, mm-hmm. and so we can't actually see her eyes, so mm-hmm. we can't actually tell it's Carrie Russell. I don't think that was Carrie Russell in the suit in that scene. I'm pretty sure that was just some actress that they just put her in the scene.
They're like, we don't want to pay her anymore. we'll bring someone else.
Basically. Oh, it's so awkward. And then Rey goes to Tatooine. To the Lars homestead. That's not a Skywalker farm. That was where Luke Skywalker grew up, yes.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, that's where the Lars family used to live. The people who raised Luke. Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Yeah.
And Rey just kind of starts looking around, and she has Luke and Leia's
lightsabers
with her, and she buries them in the sand.
I don't understand why, though. They're gone. She can use them.
Oh, I can do you what better than that. That lightsaber, Luke's lightsaber, that was originally Anakin's lightsaber.
Mm.
And Tatooine is the place where he was enslaved, where he grew up as a slave, where he had to abandon his mother, where his mother was kidnapped, tortured, and killed. It's the planet where Anakin used, not that lightsaber, but a lightsaber to commit genocide on a village of sand people. And he just hates sand generally.
Yeah.
So Rey took Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber and buried it in the sand on Tatooine on this awful, awful planet where Leia has no connection to it. The Skywalker family has no real connection to that planet. Not really.
Just that Luke grew up there.
But yet she buries the lightsabers there.
I don't know, like, maybe she thought like nobody Vader's, would go looking for it there?
Anakin's ghost would be going nuts. No, don't put my lightsaber there. And then some woman...
Like, who are you?
Just happens to be wandering the desert in that one place.
Nobody's been here for years. And she's like, who are you? I'm Rey. Rey who?
Rey Skywalker.
Whoa, and then she sees Leia's and Luke's
Force ghost.
Yeah.
And then scene, and then roll credits.
And we're done.
And the Skywalkers are all wiped out. Only the Palpatines survived.
Oh my gosh. She's a Skywalker now.
All the Skywalkers
are dead.
You don't
need blood to be family, David.
You really don't. But, like, why are you pretending? Here's a better lesson. Why is she changing her name? Like, I'm sorry.
She didn't have a last name.
Well, she does have a last name. It's Rey Palpatine.
I know. But she's going to be like, hey, what's your name? Be like, Rey Palpatine.
Oh.
Any relation to Sidious? Palpatine? Oh, yeah. He's Grandpappy Palpy. And
yes.
Be like, oh.
Well.
Ew.
Ew, but hey, you know what? Don't judge her because of her family. What if we had that little plot point that, like, she's going to take her family name and turn it into something good? What if she's going to accept the fact that she is a Palpatine and make something better out of it? Or, if she really doesn't want to aim to have that, how about she just accept the fact that, you know what, I'm just Rey. Yeah. I don't need to be part of anybody's family. I'm Rey. She's like Cher. But no. We just need to say Skywalker because...
The Rise of Skywalker.
Because we named it a movie, and it's just nonsense. Okay, Casey.
Okay, David.
How do we even start attempting to salvage this dumpster fire?
For one, again, jumping ahead to the end of the film, but we're not killing Ben Solo. That was their first mistake. If Carrie Fisher had not passed, I would say, like, keep her alive for the moment, like, for her to embrace her son.
Yeah.
But for the sake of her no longer being here, I would just say, you know, she wants to keep it the way that they had it, and she passed, and then maybe she officially, quote-unquote, passes once, like, her son finishes everything. Then I feel like it would be nice to see Rey bring him back with her to the jungle where everybody is, and then, like, when he gets off, everybody's, like, silent. And then maybe, like, Maz, because, you know, she gets it, she's Force-sensitive, whatever. She would just, like, you know, let him know that he's welcome, and everybody else would be like, and then maybe Poe or someone would give him, like, a pat on the back.
I don't know if Poe would. I could see Chewie doing that, though.
Yeah, Chewie. You're right. Chewie. I feel like Poe might maybe give him a nod or something, you know?
Yeah.
They don't know him.
Finn would give him a dark, dirty
glare. I don't see Finn giving him, because he's already jelly. So
yeah,
that's one thing I would for sure change. But I know that doesn't change the entire story.
Finn just has daggers for Ben Solo.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Because was he going to profess his love to her?
We don't know. We don't know.
He was friend zoned anyway.
Yep. Hard.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah. Maybe not as bad as he did to Rose.
Oh, I know. But poor Rose.
There's a lot of friend zoning going on in here.
Poor Rose. Hashtag poor Rose.
It's fine. What would you change, David?
I mean, I gotta be honest. Because this is a sequel to these other two movies, which one of which was okay and had some interesting setups, and the other of which was a complete and utter disaster, which turned, in hindsight, Force Awakens into a disaster. Like, I don't think there's really a way to salvage this movie completely as is. A lot of the elements in this movie are not completely horrible. Some of them might even be kind of interesting. But there's not enough time in this movie to develop the ideas that the movie wanted to have. And so given that, I think you have two options. One of which is my preference. Okay, option A is that you take this one movie, this one 2-hour and 20-minute movie, and break it up into like 3 or 4 movies.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my preference. The other one is that you break the single movie up into about 4 seasons of like an 8-minute, 40-minute episode show. And that way we have time to linger on everything. We have time to process everything. We have time to experience everything with our characters. We have time to have conversations. Remember scenes, Casey? Remember heartfelt scenes that just kind of...
That didn't make you question your life?
That didn't make you question your life. That it didn't make you feel dead inside.
Mm-hmm.
That made you feel like, oh, wow, this is really interesting. Remember that, Casey? We can have that.
Did we have that ever?
Not in this trilogy. Actually, that's not fair. There were, like, the briefest of moments. They're not in this movie. But, like, very, very brief moments. Like, Han Solo and Rey on that one planet where Maz was. Maz's planet. And
yeah.
They're just having a little conversation.
Where he's just like, I could use some help.
Yeah, Chewie really likes you. Which is just him obfuscating.
Like, I actually do like you.
Yeah, that was nice. That moment when Rey is in the little bungalow. And, like, she's in tears, and she's, like, talking to Kylo Ren, and they're having an intimate conversation, I guess, and saying things like, you're not alone, and she says, oh, you're not either, and they're about to touch hands. Like, those were nice scenes. The problem is that the context for both of those things, for all those scenes, it's just completely nonsense and just disastrous trash. It's nuts. And other than that, I would remove all the Sith dagger shenanigans. That was completely ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. Why does Rey have to know to stand in that one single place? It's just completely off.
Somehow they find out where it is and then just have her feel the wayfinder?
No, you just need a better through line. So if we're going to divide this up into like 4 seasons of a show, I would have the first season basically lead up to the confrontation that happens on the Burning Man planet, maybe. So we can have, like, a few episodes that are about, like, oh, what's the Resistance doing? What's the First Order doing? Oh, Rey is training. What are our other characters doing? They receive a piece of intelligence, so we can have a few episodes about getting that information and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so that way we don't have to, like, rush through everything. And it can culminate with, like, Chewie dying because Rey did an oopsie. That could be, like, the end of the first season or whatever. That's already won. So we'll have time to linger there. And so what we'll do is have Rey just get a map from this derelict ship or whatever. And give a clear explanation as to why Luke and Lando couldn't find the ship to begin with. Maybe they were missing a scanner.
Maybe the ship was underneath the quicksand.
Something like that. Almost anything other than what they did.
Yeah.
And then if they want to invade the First Order's Star Destroyer or whatever, have a more just thought out scene. Remember on the Death Star when they got into it on the Millennium Falcon, put on disguises? They spent like 5 minutes just trying to get onto the thing safely without being caught. In this movie, they do it in like 10 seconds and it's just a big action scene. Yeah, they just shoot their way through. So yeah.
I feel like every time they get on a Star Destroyer or anything of the sort, they never have a plan to get off.
They're no, just
like,
they don't.
We'll figure it out when we get there.
And every time they just somehow do.
Yeah. They get caught, but then they somehow get out.
Yeah. They all do. It's really nonsense. And then we can even spend a whole season just on that Nazi planet. Just like the planet where they were sneaking around, going from door to door. we could have a whole season just take place there, because that was super interesting. And,
yeah.
And explore Poe's past. What does the rest of the crew think of Poe's past? How do they react to it?
It's all just of like, that. Listen, this is what I had to do to get by.
I was a drug runner.
Yeah, but then I realized I had something that could help the resistance, and they did this, and I realized I could somehow help and make a difference.
Yes, exactly. Finn discovers that that one character with all the space horses is a former stormtrooper.
Yeah.
We can start exploring, like, oh...
Wouldn't it have been kind of cool if they were, like, brother and sister or something?
That'd be supremely unlikely, but that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
Like, even cousins.
Cousins. Know. Well, they could be just connected somehow.
Yeah.
Like, that might have been interesting. No, we don't get that. So...
Oh my gosh, like a scene of, like, when... Maybe they go through stormtrooper files. They invade a Star Destroyer or something.
They find an archive.
Yeah. And then they find out where they came from. They go to the planet.
That can be part of the season. That can be part of, like, that can be like one season's like arc for Finn, is that he's trying to find out where he came from, where all the stormtroopers were coming from, and all of this. And he can track down this person because they all want to find out where they're from.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'd have been kind of cool, actually. So yeah, just like, as you can tell, just like slow everything down. If you want to watch this movie, put it at a quarter speed, because otherwise it's just going to be flying in your face the entire time. It's really uncomfortable. It's sad. Other than that, I mean, there's not much we can do to fix this. Like,
no, there's just so much going on, and it's very clear that they're just trying to rush and get every idea that J.J. Abrams wanted to put in Last Jedi.
That Rian Johnson burned in a pyre.
And he's just like, let me just get everything that I want in here and just put it all together really quick, and hopefully people will notice my space horses and will forget about everything.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it for our fixes section, just because, like...
We more so just wanted to touch on, like, all the things wrong with the movie. And again, because it's kind of hard for us to fix this one.
There was no fixing this. Yeah, not really all
it was just too much.
Really, the only feasible way is to really just redo the whole thing. And it really is just to kind of, like, stretch this out into several seasons of one show. And have multiple hours dedicated to all of it. And that's it, man. Like, there's no fixing this. Not really. And right now, so many executives at Disney are asking themselves, what in God's name do we do with Star Wars? Because it's kind of left in a place where most of the movies, including the spinoffs, are bad. And Marvel is a franchise that is still consistently knocking it out of the park. WandaVision is an excellent show. By the time of this recording, we still haven't finished it because the last episode hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
But it's great. Whatever they do for the next trilogy, whether or not it is directed by Rian Johnson, who I still think is a talented person if he...
Wasn't in Star Wars.
If he's disciplined. Like, Knives Out is a good movie.
Yeah.
It's well written. It's just not a Star Wars movie. And so if he can write a good Star Wars movie, I am ready for it. But
based on what he did, it's like...
I have no confidence in the man.
No.
So... Either way, whatever trilogy or non-trilogy, whatever spinoff comes out for the next Star Wars movie, I'm going to watch the trailer, and if I don't like what I see, I'm not going to watch it. I just don't see a reason to watch it.
What if everyone who listens to our podcast is like, pretty, 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 please?
That would be the review. Only reason.
Okay.
That would be the only reason.
I only did it for you.
Basically, because I don't want to watch a trashy Star Wars movie. Yeah. I'm done. Yeah. I know what the good Star Wars movies are.
So, David, what's a good movie that they can look into?
If you want to watch a good movie, just watch Star Wars Return of the Jedi. Or just watch the original Star Wars trilogy again.
I know, like, we're kind of repeating it, but it is...
Well, just like this trilogy was trying to repeat the original trilogy anyway. Right. Just watch those original movies. They're really good. And if you don't want to watch that, like I said just a few seconds ago, just go ahead and watch WandaVision. It's a great show.
It's really good.
It's excellent. It made me feel.
In your non-existent heart?
Yes. It made me feel again after watching. It gave
me some hope.
Yes. Or, alternatively, listen, the only thing that's good about Star Wars these days, for the most part, is The Mandalorian. Watch The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
It is a lovely departure from the usual Star Wars nonsense.
Pedro Pascal
is a wizard.
Like, the fact that he has this helmet on the entire time, but you can feel his emotion. You see what he's trying to do, and you don't even see his face.
You know exactly what this character is thinking all the time.
He's an amazing actor.
And he did it with a bucket on his head.
Yeah. I'm impressed.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. Just watch The Mandalorian. The second season came out, and it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think I still like the first season better, but it's solid. Solid. Solid stuff.
Hashtag Baby Yoda.
Hashtag Baby Yoda.
All right, guys. Well, you can catch both of those. Well, everything that we just talked about on Disney Plus.
Absolutely. And please get ready for our next episode. It's going to be a very special episode.
Yes, it's going to be a celebration episode of...
Wonder Woman!
Yay! We get to talk about happy things.
We get to talk about a movie we like and enjoyed.
Thanks for listening. If you have any suggestions, like, comment, subscribe. Follow our Instagram, Script Doctor Podcast. And... just let us know.
We'll see you later.
Bye.